There we go. That was so loud. I apologize. I was living my dream for a moment of being an international rapper. Thank you so much. Feel free to take a seat. And as you take a seat, how about you turn to someone in your general vicinity and say, it is wonderful to have you here tonight at Energizer Church. It is wonderful to have Joey Morse here at Energizer Church. Now, Joey, I'm going to ask you near the end of my message to come up a bit early and play some keys. I hope you're happy to do that. But I will summon you. It is wonderful to have you here tonight. And if someone really, really spiritual could do me a favour, last week you would have found out that I'm an avid North Melbourne football fan. And at the moment, we're having the worst season in probably the history of my footy team for a long time. But we are playing St Kilda right now. And I've got no idea what the scores are. So if we're winning, someone just let me know. If we're losing, please be quiet. And his head's shaking. That is okay. I'm going to shut up now. All right. Oh, is it already the end of the game? Oh, wow. Wow. That's a darn shame. Now, for those that were here this morning, I was sharing a message. I was sharing a message called, What Are You Running From? What are you running from? And I shared about how I can understand running from a dangerous situation. I shared about how, you know, when things get scary, there was a time when these two colourful characters, they were asking me for money and then mouthing at me, and then they said, we want to take it off you. And I decided that the best call to action was to actually jog away, saying, well, if you want my money, come on, catch me. Because they were quite heavy set young guys, and I thought that I could outrun them. So I can understand running from danger, but I talked about how when we're running from our destiny, that is dangerous territory as Christians. When we're running from the call of God on our lives, it's dangerous territory. And I talked about Jonah, Elijah, and a man named Peter. So if you want to hear that message, feel free to check out the podcast later. But tonight, instead of talking about what are we running from, I want to talk about what are we running on. What are we running on? Turn to the person next to you and ask them, what are you on? What are you on? What are you on? What are you on? I want some of what you have. What do you want? What are you on? Now, what are you on? Before I jump into this sermon, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to up the word. So, God, I thank you so much that your word is living and active. We thank you so much that your spirit is here and it is moving. And we ask in Jesus' mighty name that we wouldn't run on temporary things. We wouldn't run on the approval of people. We wouldn't run on just physical food. We wouldn't just run on things that can only sustain us for a moment. But we would press in and take a hold and be sustained and run on the things that are eternal. I pray that you'd give clarity to this message so that collectively and individually we can put into application what you want to say to us. God, because we don't want to just come into somewhere like this, hear your word, encounter you, and leave this place. That's like in the book of James, it says it's like a man looking in a mirror and then forgetting who he is. We pray that as we read your word, as we press into your presence, that it would bring direction, it would bring healing, it would bring encouragement, it would bring strength, it would bring life and life abundantly. In Jesus' mighty name, if you want to receive that, say a big amen, amen, amen. So my question today is, what are you running on? Now, I haven't had this situation happen to me before, but it might have happened to some of you out in the room here tonight. Has anyone ever been on a trip somewhere and then all of a sudden you realize a little orange light flashes up on your dashboard of your vehicle? Has anyone experienced that moment? I've experienced that moment, but I haven't experienced the moment that follows where you keep going for another 20, 30, 40 kilometers in hope that you might make it to the next petrol station, but you don't happen to make it there. Has anyone actually experienced that before? Running out of gas. Who's experienced that experience twice? Who's experienced that experience three times? All right, we're going to pray for this lady here on the third row. Everyone reach out your hand. No, joking. Won't do that to you. If you do need prayer for it later, just come up and we'll pray for you. I haven't experienced that before, but I shared this story a while back. Once I did experience a flat battery, and it was in one of the most terrifying moments ever. Me and my brother decided to drive all the way down the Great Ocean Road. We thought it would be a good thing to do. We booked tickets to Melbourne, and we went and saw a band called Coldplay. I don't know if you've heard of them before. But we went and saw them live, and then me and my brother, we had 1 week between Coldplay concert and an Eric Clapton concert with my dad. I like good music. It was a good week. I was on holidays. So we were like, what are we going to do? Should we just hang out in Melbourne? We went, no, let's drive down the Great Ocean Road. Let's go to a vineyard. Let's enjoy some wine and catch up with Maggie Beer. So we drove down the Great Ocean Road. And on that journey, we decided to pull up down this ridiculously long sandy beach. I mean, not sandy beach, sandy road to near a beach. And when we got to there, we thought, you know what, we'll sleep here tonight in our car. So my brother left the headlights on in the car and it was shining out. And we decided to do some cooking. And then all of a sudden we realized that the headlight of the car was starting to wane. That it was starting to go a bit like if I have the assistance of my friend Jacob Donnelly, who's doing a brilliant job on lights. It sort of went from being bright to a little bit darker. A little bit darker. To a little bit darker. Then all of a sudden, we thought to ourselves, this could get a bit interesting. So my brother put the keys in the ignition and let's see if he can do it. Let's see if we can get a little bit of light, a little bit of light, a little bit. No, it's not really working. Anyway, so let's turn the lights back on. We had no power. We had no power in my car, just a little. And what we ended up having to do, my brother at that time had just had a knee reconstruction as the lights come back up. My brother just had a knee reconstruction. And he was like, Dan, you're going to have to push the car. And we're going to have to try to roll start it. Do you know how hard it is to roll start a car on sand? Like, not even down here. I mean, like, flat sand. And my brother's like, well, I can't do anything. I've got a torn ACL. Well, it's just been healed, but you know what I mean. It was torn. And there I am trying to push this car. And he's like, come on, push harder, just shouting at me, thinking that his shouting is going to be more helpful. We did get it running, and we then just drove for about the next 100 to 120 kilometres just to try to get some extra juice in the car. But my question is, what are you running on? Is if we're running on fumes, or we're running on just the temporary, just what's left in the battery, it's a dangerous place to run our lives. I want to encourage us here in this place tonight that God has a better way. He has a better fuel for you to use to actually enable you to live the life that He's called you to live. And that fuel is twofold. There's two things. One is the Word of God. I tell you what, it says in the book of Matthew in 6:11, this is daily bread. This is daily bread. Give us today our daily food. Give us our bread. This Word will nourish you. It will strengthen you. I love how in Psalm 1, it talks about that anyone that meditates and thinks and chews on, that's the word, it's like a cognitive word, chews on this word, this teaching, is like a tree planted along a river that will bear fruit in every season. And I want to encourage you, there's something powerful when you set yourself up with a food that isn't just temporary, a food that just doesn't sustain just the natural, but a food that can build you up, strengthen you, and help you become the person God's called you to be. Get the Word of God into you. But more importantly, here at Energizer Church, we're a church that fully believes that the power of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, can come and abide in us and help us live a supernatural life. Live a life that's beyond just the temporary. And I was sharing this morning, I've shared it at a few meetings in a few places recently, about how in our church over the past 6 weeks, we've seen a few people receive healings. It's ridiculously encouraging. I get encouraged every time I hear about it. Actually, one of them sitting here in the second row. That's the end. Yeah, that's you. She had a neck injury for 10 years. 10 years. And then we prayed for her. And she said she felt this power, the Holy Spirit, coming upon her. And over the duration of about, 24 to 48 hours, her neck's now, she couldn't do that before. Give God some praise for that. That's encouraging. And we had in the Derwent Valley a man who couldn't kneel for 20 years. 20 years. without being able to kneel. We prayed for him. And over the duration of a week, his knee is now completely healed. Everything the doctors had done hadn't worked, but we prayed for it, and the Holy Spirit did something miraculous. And I'm that is good. I'm sharing this to try to build up an atmosphere of faith and expectation tonight. Because tonight, I don't want you to leave this place like walking into a buffet and not eating, like driving up to a petrol station when you're on empty and not filling up. I'm going to invite Jemima back in the not-so-distant future to lead us in some worship. But me and some of our team would love to just to stand with people to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, to be filled afresh with the Holy Spirit. You might have came in here feeling like your battery's flat. You might have came in here tonight feeling like your tank's nearly on empty. But I tell you this, that the Holy Ghost never runs dry. The power of God never runs flat. So if we come hungry, I love how in this same sermon that Jesus taught, the ultimate teacher, the Messiah, he talked about how blessed are those who hunger and thirst, for they will be filled. If I honestly believe that tonight, as Jemima worships in the not-so-distant future, as we all worship and the team lead us, that I'm going to invite and encourage people that if you want to be filled afresh with his power, don't remain seated. If I would remain seated in my car, I'd still be stuck out near along the Great Ocean Road. But instead, I got moving. And I want to encourage you tonight. I'm going to ask people to get moving. If you stay where you are, you're not going to get to where God's calling you to. And he wants to fill you. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to help you not stay flat, but actually fill you with his power, with his peace, with his confidence, with his provision. Will you let him fill you tonight? Come on. Give God a round of applause if you want to see people get filled tonight. Has anyone ever put the wrong fuel in a car? Yeah, a couple of people. We'll pray for these people too. Nah. I don't know how I haven't managed to. I honestly thought by this stage, I'm now 28, about to turn 29 in a couple of months. I don't know how I've managed not to fill up a car with the wrong fuel at some stage yet. It's proof that God's real. It's a miracle. Because there's so many other things that I forget so often, so I don't know how I've managed to do it. And even more recently with me buying a diesel car, I've always had unleaded cars up until this point, but I've managed to have enough nous about me whenever I pull up to the petrol station. But sometimes, thank you. Sometimes, as people, I remember this message that Pastor Dave preached about when he does a lot of cycling, which you might have heard of once before if you've been here at Energizer Church. But he was telling this story about how he once pulled up at New Norfolk, and he pulled up to one of my favourite shops in New Norfolk, the Eagle Snack Shop, and he went to the Bay Marine and just grabbed a bunch of greasy things, and how that didn't sustain him or nourish him for what he was called to do, which at that time was just to cycle another 50-odd k's. And I want to encourage you that in the same way, we can be. It's so easy at times to turn to the wrong fuel, to be filled up on the wrong things. It says in Habakkuk 2:13, "Has not the Lord of heaven's armies promised that the wealth of nations will turn to ash? They work so hard, but all in vain." They work so hard, but all in vain. In the newer NIV version, it says, "Has not the Lord Almighty determined that people's labor is only fuel for the fire? Fuel for the fire. That the nations exhaust themselves for nothing." If we try to do everything in our own strength, if we try to do everything in our own ability, if we try to do everything by just our own human strategy, it's in vain. It will exhaust itself. The temporary will sustain the temporary, but it won't help you for eternity. You need to be fueled on something of eternal worth. And that is the power of the Holy Ghost. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. The fuel that we are designed to run on is the power of the Holy Ghost. I haven't got this on my sermon notes, but in Acts 2, I love this passage of Scripture. It talks about how all these guys were gathered together all these believers were gathered together in one room. Some of you would have heard this passage of scripture before. But it talks about how they were all gathered together. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. And suddenly, everyone say suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like a roaring of a mighty windstorm. And it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present, I want you all to say this word with me, was filled. Everyone say filled. Filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Ghost gave them the ability. At Youth Alive earlier this year, we were blessed to have a preacher named David Holt speaking at our Youth Alive. And he was talking this one message, and it captivated me. It encouraged me. And I want to share part of it with you here today before I start praying for people to be filled with a fresh portion of the Holy Spirit, to be filled afresh. I'm going to ask young Joey Morse if you're about, mate. You're more than welcome to play some keys if you'd like. But he shared this passage of scripture and talked about how he likes pickles. Does anyone like pickles? No? I like you. Pickles are great. Seriously, pickles are great. I am proclaiming that. I've got the microphone, so it must be true. Pickles are great. I love going to McDonald's and ordering a McPickle burger. A McPickle burger is this. It is a $1 hamburger, but then you ask them to go crazy on the pickles. You say, add a ludicrous amount of pickles to it. You just use whatever crazy adjective you want to. It's fun. It amuses me anyway. I don't know if it amuses you. But I like doing that. So sometimes you maybe get 5 pickles. Other times you get more pickle than actually burger and patty. It's incredible. The McPickle burger. But you know the fascinating thing is this. That you can't actually buy a pickle bush. You can't plant a pickle tree. There's no such thing. There is no such thing as a pickle bush or a pickle tree. How do you get a pickle, some may ask. Those foodies in the room already know, but for everyone else that is, that didn't realize this is an epiphany, this is a light bulb moment. You're like, oh my gosh, I thought pickles were actually a tree. Like, no, they're not. They're actually cucumbers. Yeah, I know. They're cucumbers. But for a cucumber to turn into pickle, you have to do something to that cucumber. You have to fully immerse it in vinegar. You have to fully immerse it in vinegar. In other words, baptize it in vinegar. Actually, you have to do 2 baptisms to it. First, you have to blanch it, like sear it in boiling hot water. It's like being baptized in water. But then secondly, you've got to drop it into a jar of vinegar and seal it. And allow the vinegar to actually fully permeate the cucumber until all of a sudden it's transformed from a cucumber to a pickle. Pickle. That is correct. And the encouraging thing is, normally when you create a pickle, it's not just like you have one pickle in a jar. That would be a very lonely pickle. But instead, you bring all these cucumbers together, you chuck them in there, you seal it, and allow the vinegar to do its work. Now, in the same way that the vinegar transforms a cucumber into a pickle, the Holy Spirit transforms a Christian into a Spirit-filled Christian. You cannot actually go back to being an unfilled Spirit Christian, but you can sometimes feel like you're running dry. So for some people in this room, I'm believing that as we press in worship in just a moment, this will be a moment where your pickleness, you get re-pickled. You have a fresh feeling of the Holy Ghost. It's going to strengthen you to actually do the thing that God's called you to do. Because the things that God has called you to do, you cannot do in your own strength. You cannot do it in your own power. In Zechariah 4:6, we've been declaring this as a church in a song that we've written recently. It says, "So he said to me, this is the word of the Lord, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty." By the Spirit of God. And I want to encourage you here today, if you've made a decision for Christ previously, but you know you haven't been filled by the power of the Holy Ghost, I would love to pray with you, to stand with you in expectation, in anticipation, believing that the Holy Ghost will fill you, will strengthen you, will take you from just being a Christian, which is a good thing. It's good to be a Christian. It's good to follow Christ's teachings. But more than that, what God's calling you to do, you can't do in your own strength. To live a life as a Spirit-filled Christian, a pickled Christian, fully pickled. Someone say fully pickled. Fully pickled. If someone can make a hat for me saying fully pickled, I'd really appreciate it. Or a t-shirt. I reckon that would be a good selling t-shirt, fully pickled. In Ephesians 3:14-21, I'm going to close on this. I'm going to ask the rest of the band to come up. It says, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your innermost being." This is Paul praying for the church in the Ephesian church. He prayed for the Ephesian church to experience glorious riches, that he may strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, his Spirit in your innermost being. The Bible says we have not because we ask not. I don't want you to leave this place flat. I don't want you to leave this place on empty. I want you to leave this place strengthened, you, his Spirit in your innermost being. It goes on to say this, "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is, the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we may ask and imagine, according to his power that it is worked within us." I'm going to invite the team to lead us in worship in a moment. Actually, in about 20 seconds. So when we stand, if you want to not just continue being in empty, running on dry, running flat, if you want a fresh feeling of the Holy Spirit, encourage you. You can leave this place empty. You can leave this place hungry. But that would be very, very, very sad. Especially when God has something so much greater for you. And I'm going to ask you, just like I needed to start moving to get my car moving and recharged, I want to invite you to step out from where you are, to come make a stand at the front up here, going, "God, I'm not leaving this place. We're going to worship for the next 10, 15 minutes. I'm not moving from this space until I receive a fresh feeling, a fresh touch of the fire of the Holy Spirit." Myself and some of the team will stand with you in prayer. It's not by might, nor by power, but by his Spirit. So let's get hungry, for God fills those who are hungry. Jemima, let's all stand. Let's all stand. Jemima, can you start leading us in worship? And if you're hungry for the Holy Spirit, let me encourage you, move out from where you are right now, right now, right now. Take that step. Take that step. Take that step. Start moving out. Start moving out.